Thank you a ton, and just bringing so much. Oh, thank you. Bringing so much life and joy here every Wednesday. We, all of us here at the temple, look forward to all of you coming on Wednesdays for that reason. You bring so much energy. And I was thinking this is the beginning of a new school year. Perhaps some of you are new to Worship Wednesday, or new to the school, or just starting in Adoya Bhavan. So I wanted to just share a little bit of what one of my goals is as a teacher of Srimad Bhagavatam to you on Wednesdays. Really, and I think you've already imbibed this so nicely with Guru Puja, it's just to find Bhagavatam class and the book Srimad Bhagavatam cool. Find it interesting, find it enjoyable. When I was younger and coming to the Sunday feast was one of the only thing I liked about it was that I could play soccer. And I would come, I'd wear basketball shorts, and I would come in my cleats. I'll cleat around the temple property, and I'll just wait to meet my friends out there at the ALC and play soccer. But every now and then, my parents push me, okay, you can't play soccer until you sit in the class for 10, 15 minutes. I'd come, and I'd be so bored. Oh, why am I here? I just want to play soccer. I'm looking outside the window. I see them playing outside. But then as time went on, and I became a teenager, and I graduated from high school, I started to develop a little bit of an attraction for Bhagavatam class, for listening to classes. I found it interesting. And actually, I think it's, even though I came to class and I never liked it, and I just wanted to run outside and play, the impression of being here every Sunday, even though I just sitting and not paying attention, it left something in my heart. I felt like years down the road, that developed a little bit of an attraction. And then now I feel like this is one of my best friends. And I feel that coming here and listening is one of my favorite things to do. And it's built so much faith in my life. It's built so much, it's made me feel like I belong in the Hare Krishna movement. So without further ado, let's start with Jai Radha Madhava and then get into the verse for today. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashodha Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashodha Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Mudirayat. Nashta Preshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtagi. So today we're reading from the third canto, chapter number 2, text 9. Though I recognize this is a new canto for all of you, Chaturanga Prabhu spoke on a verse last week in this chapter, but I wanted to first give some context because it's very different to what you heard in Canto 2. Canto 2, you're hearing a lot of Brahma's and Krishna's conversation, which is known as the original Bhagavatam. This beginning of our parampara starts with this conversation between Lord Brahma and Krishna. But then the Bhagavatam takes a little turn in the storyline, and it starts talking about a sage named Vidura. And just to quickly give a prelude, there was a big battle of Kurukshetra, the Mahabharata, many of you are familiar. On one side was the Pandavas. How many Pandava brothers were there? Does anybody know? Five Pandava brothers? You can get a little... On the other side, there are the Kauravas. How many Kaurava brothers were there? 100, right. And who was the oldest of the Kauravas? Duryodhan. You guys know everything. And the father of Duryodhan, what was his name? Dhritarashtra. And there was something significant about Dhritarashtra. He had a certain disability. He was blind. But it says he wasn't just physically blind, he was also spiritually blind. That means he was in this atmosphere that he had Krishna there, physically present. He had Krishna's dearest devotees physically present, but he never did things to support them. He never listened to Krishna. And one person, he constantly had good counsel. And one of his good councilmen was his brother named Vidura. And Vidura was a devotee of Krishna. And he knew that Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas. So he always gave counsel to Dhritarashtra. What are you doing? It's time you surrender. You're not going to win this way. And it came to a point where Dhritarashtra really just ignored him, dishonored him, and Duryodhan spoke up and was really nasty with him. He said a lot of hurtful things. And Vidura took this as a sign that I've tried my best, now it's time for me to just focus on my own spiritual path. So he left before the war started. And so meanwhile, the story of Mahabharata's going on, and many of you are familiar with that. But while that's going on, Vidura wasn't present. He was traveling all of India, and he was trying to find spiritual answers. He was trying to meet saints. He was going on a quest of his own. And so one personality he came across was one of Krishna's best friends named Uddhava. And Uddhava is also Krishna's cousin, and they're very, very close. They're so, so close. In fact, Uddhava looked just like Krishna. And there's a whole section of Bhagavatam, two books this size, just dedicated to Uddhava and Krishna speaking. It's such an important relationship and conversation they had, and there's so many lessons from it. So when Vidura met him, he was so excited, and he asked him, "Tell me about Krishna." So the first lesson, you meet a saintly person, you meet a devotee, what do you say? Tell me about Krishna. What's Krishna up to? What's his family up to? Is Krishna still around? And when you heard Chaturanga Prabhu speak last week, he was speaking on the verse where as soon as Uddhava heard this question, he just went internal for a second. It was such, just thinking about Krishna gave him so many symptoms of ecstasy. And now we're a few verses later, he starts to speak. And what he says is, Krishna has left. The sun has set. So we're in the most unfortunate position. And then he starts talking about Krishna's family, his larger family, the Yadus. And he says, the whole world is so unfortunate, the whole universe is so unfortunate, but the most unfortunate are the Yadus. And today we're going to find out why is Krishna's family, the Yadus, the most unfortunate. You would think they wouldn't be, because they're his family. But it's a very interesting answer. And let's see. Ingita gya puru pradha. Ingita gya puru pradha. Ingita gya puru pradha. Eka ramascha satvataha. Satvatam vishabham sarve. Satvatam Rishabham Sarve Bhutavasam Amam Sata Bhutavasam Amam Sata. I'd like to ask first the disciples of Srila Prabhupada in the room if they would like to recite the verse. Satvatam Rishabham Sarve Bhutavasam Amam Sata. Followed by the students.
Ingita
gya puru pradha.
Eka ramascha satvataha.
Satvatam rishabham sarve.
Bhutavasam amam sata.
Okay, word for word, Ingita Gya, expert in psychic study. Puru Prodha, highly experienced. Eka, one. Aramaha, relaxation. Cha, also. Satvata, devotees, or own men. Satvatam Rishabham, head of the family. Sarve, all. Bhuta Avasam, all pervading. Amam Sata, could think. Translation. The Yadus were all experienced devotees, learned and expert in psychic study. Over and above this, they were always with the Lord in all kinds of relaxations, and still they were only able to know him as the One Supreme who dwells everywhere. Purport. In the Vedas, it is said that the Supreme Lord, or the Paramatma, cannot be understood simply by the strength of one's erudition or power of mental speculation. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo na medaya na bahuna shrutena. Katha Upanishad 1.2.23. He can be known only by one who has the mercy of the Lord. The Yadavas were all exceptionally learned and experienced, but in spite of their knowing the Lord as the one who lives in everyone's heart, Paramatma, they could not understand that he is the original personality of Godhead. This lack of knowledge was not due to their insufficient erudition, it was due to their misfortune. In Vrindavan, however, the Lord was not even known as the Paramatma, because the residents of Vrindavan were pure, unconventional devotees of the Lord, and could think of him only as their object of love. They did not know that he is the personality of Godhead. The Yadus, or the residents of Dwarka, however, could know Lord Krishna as Vasudev, or the Supersoul living everywhere, but not as the Supreme Lord. As scholars of the Vedas, they verified the Vedic hymns, Eko Deva, Sarva Bhuta Divasya, Antaryami, and Vishinam Varadevata. The Yadus, therefore, accepted that Lord Krishna as the Supersoul incarnated in their family, and not more than that. Om Jnana Tamaram Dasya Jnana Jnana Shalakaya Chakshudam Vitam Jnana Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishtaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pujayane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pastitya Deshitaya Panchakam Patarudyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vaja Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo. Two weeks ago, on Prabhupada's Vyas Puja, Badahari Prabhu gave an offering. There was 3 hours of devotees coming up and speaking, glorifying Srila Prabhupada. And he did something that really struck with me, and when I read this verse, I immediately thought of that. And he had said that he was in California, in L.A., and Prabhupada had gone on the morning walk in Santa Monica Beach. And in this morning walk, there were so many devotees. There was just this big mass of devotees and Prabhupada in the middle. And Badahari Prabhu was thinking, I want to see Prabhupada. I'm going to figure out a way to go around everybody and go to the front and see Prabhupada. So he made this plan. He ran around, and he was trying to find Prabhupada. And he looked up, and Prabhupada was right there in front of him. And he said Prabhupada just kind of looked shocked at him for a second, and he looked kind of shocked at Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada kept walking and talking on his morning walk. And that was his association. But he said, thinking about this, he had a very powerful lesson that he learned. And he said, you cannot know a personality like Srila Prabhupada just by physical proximity, just by being close physically, just like I'm close to Jaggi right now. But if I don't actually know Jaggi, it doesn't mean I'm going to know him just by sitting right next to him. And he said this question would then come up in his mind, and who really is Srila Prabhupada, then who is he? Just by getting close, I can understand him. How do I find out who he is? How do I really develop this relationship with him? And not trying to compare Prabhupada to Krishna, but in this example is a very similar example. The Yadus, the family members, and I'm going to read the verse prior to this one, because it gives a little more context. Uddhava says, this universe with all its planets is most unfortunate because Krishna left the planet. And even more unfortunate are the members of the Yadu dynasty because they could not identify Lord Hari as the personality of Godhead any more than a fish could identify the moon. And so we have this interesting conundrum where we have the family members of Krishna. And it says here they relaxed with him. They spent all kinds of time with Krishna relaxing. Sometimes you see these beautiful paintings where Krishna's playing chess with his family members or lounging on the sofa. They spent this time with him every day. They saw him, but they couldn't know him as the personality of God, as Bhagavan. They couldn't really know him for who he is. And therefore, Uddhava says, they're the most unfortunate. They had so much knowledge. They had psychic study. I mean, they knew psychic stuff. They were really, really smart. But they couldn't understand who Krishna was, even though he was sitting there right next to him. It's interesting, right? But on the other hand, and Prabhupada states, on the other hand, we have the Brajavasis, the most unconventional pure devotees. But these devotees are the most dear to Krishna. They're so dear to Krishna. When Krishna is with the Yadus, when Krishna is in Dwarka, all he's thinking about is the Brajavasis. Even though he's with them there in person, his mind is the Brajavasis. But they don't even know he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's just their little Kanhaiya, their little Krishna, someone who they love, someone who they're friends with, someone who they see as a little baby. But they love him so much. They have such deep, actual, personal attachment. And therefore, Krishna gives them the most mercy. Krishna can reveal the most intimate relationships with them. So I was thinking about this, but in one sense, it does make sense, because, for example, I have my extended family all live in either India or Australia. And my only immediate family in the United States are my brothers and sisters, my mom, and my dad's now in India. But whenever I go to India, and my sister got married in April, and we went for a wedding, or we were there for her wedding, all the extended family came, and I just couldn't relate so much with them. And I was thinking, but then there's friends I went to school with here, people I grew up here, my non-blood related aunts and uncles here in Alachua, that perhaps I feel much closer with them than I do my blood related family. So maybe blood relation isn't what makes someone close to somebody. So the question that came to my mind that I want to talk about today is, what's essential in a relationship? What's essential in a relationship with Krishna? It's not physical proximity. What is it that makes this relationship with Krishna real and makes it something that we can interact in? So I thought maybe I could think about it in this way. For me, the key that came to mind that makes this relationship very real, and what states here in the Bhagavatam, is that they could understand him as Paramatma, as the all-pervading Lord, but they couldn't understand him as, and Prabhupada uses this phrase again and again, the personality of Godhead, the personality Krishna as the person in his original form. And to understand a personality, you need personalism. And for me, I thought this is the key. This is the key to really understand a relationship with Krishna. We need personalism. And I was thinking about it, and in our everyday lives, we tend to do things in quite personal ways with people and our interactions, but somehow or another, we can have a tendency to approach God in a more impersonal way, or approach him not exactly the same way we may approach the rest of us. We may see God is here, I am here, and there's a gap in between. So I thought, let's think about this example. If a new student came into your classroom, and it's a new school year, a new student moved all the way to Alachua, they came to your class, and they were sitting in the back of the class, and you thought, I want to make friends with the student. I want to be friendly. I want to be personal. How would you engage with them? Some ideas? How would you be friendly with this person? Introduce yourself. My name is so-and-so. What's your name? Okay, there's one way. How else would you be friendly? A new student comes to your class and you want to make friends with them. What do you do? Ask them questions. Okay, you ask them questions. Any other ideas? You're trying to make friends with someone at school. What sport do you like? Try to find out what their interests are. Okay, we're getting somewhere. In the back. Share something from your lunch. This is a great way to make friends. Certainly. People are thinking, oh, not my lunch. And maybe get something from their lunch. Maybe exchange. I'll take a couple more. And hand in the back there. Teach them how to play with your favorite toys. It's sharing. And also shows what's your favorite. And shows to them what you like. Here. One of your hobbies to them. You can show this new friend one of your hobbies. Go ahead. Find out what you have alike. So there's a lot of ways we can be personal when a new student comes to the classroom. Okay, we talked about what do you have in common, share your prasadam with them, introduce yourself. These are all personal ways, right? These are all personal things. So let's take this same concept. It's very natural for us actually to be personal with one another. It's very natural. Sometimes in the world it can be very impersonal, the way we deal with one another, but it's very natural, it's very pleasing. We can do the same thing with Krishna, and Krishna likes it. And the interesting thing about the story with the Yadus is that we may think, this is nothing to do with us, it's not relatable. They live with Krishna. I don't live with Krishna. I live in Alachua, I live with my family, with my parents. Krishna is in some other world called Goloka Vrindavan, and I'm all the way over here. But actually, we do live with Krishna. We're sitting right next to him right now. In your classrooms, you have deities. You sit next to him every day in your class. In your home, you have deities. Krishna is present in the hearts of the devotees. You're around devotees all the time. I see a hand up. He's invisible, but he's actually everywhere. So correct. Thank you. Krishna is present everywhere. And he's present in very real forms. Go ahead. You can high five him. You can high five Jagi, and Krishna's in Jagi's heart. Look at that. So the Lord is present everywhere. So this example of the Yajus is not far away from us. Actually, we are in Krishna's family, and we are so close to him, yet we may feel so far away. So I encourage you through this example in the Bhagavatam, through this story, find something that's personal, that you can personally relate to Krishna. Find a way that you can engage in devotional service that's personable, that you can feel like Krishna is not all the way there and I'm all the way here, but he's right in front of me. Like you said, he's everywhere. So can I catch him if he's everywhere? It's invisible. Can I catch him? And can I have a conversation? Can I be with him? Yeah? Yeah, maybe. So I want to get some ideas. What are some ways you think you can be personal with Krishna?
Playing with him.
Playing with him. How would you do that?
Just
swing the swings on the swing. Perfect. Other ways you can be personal with Krishna? Any ways you can be personal in your relationship with Krishna? I'll give an example of mine. I was thinking, and we have, it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita how Krishna can be understood. He says, bhakti amam abhijanati, that it's through devotional service only that I can be understood, that I can be approached, through only devotional service. And what the Yajus had was proximity, what the Brajavasis had was devotional service. And this word devotional service is Srila Prabhupada's translation of bhakti, and it's so beautiful because Rupa Goswami, he translates, or he divides it, bhakti, in twofold. There's Cheshta Rupa Bhakti, Rupa means form, so Cheshta Rupa and Bhava Rupa Bhakti. Cheshta Rupa means sort of the external manifestation, the activity. What do I do with my body? What do I do with my mind? And then Bhava Rupa Bhakti, Bhava means the feeling, the devotion, what comes out from the heart. Hare Krishna, have a nice day. What comes out in the heart? What is the bhava? And both of these are necessary in bhakti. We have to have the feeling, the sentiment, the devotion. We also have to have the action. And this is why Srila Prabhupada calls it devotional service. Not just devotion, not just service, but devotional service. That is bhakti. And there's once devotees in Vrindavan were saying, they were telling Prabhupada all of their troubles, all of their difficulties they're having, and how to solve it. And Prabhupada said, do you want to know how to solve your problems? Yes? Okay. And so he said, this is in Vrindavan, in Krishna Balaram Temple. He says, if you ever have any difficulty, you can go before Gornitai, you can go before Krishna Balaram, and you say, this is his prayer, my dear sirs, we can say this together, my dear sirs,
my dear sirs,
this is my problem. And Krishna Balaram will do the needful. That's not part of the prayer. But it's simple as that. You just approach the deities and say, this is who I am. This is what's happening in my life. Please help me. And Prabhupada always gave indications of having this kind of personal approach with Krishna and all kinds of devotional service. He had told Inayuma Swami, when you chant Hare Krishna, when you're chanting japa, when you're chanting Krishna's name, you think of Krishna and you pray to him and think, oh, my friend, oh, my friend. Or he often said when you chant japa, you have this meditation, oh, my Lord, oh, Radha, oh, Krishna, please accept me. Please engage me in your service. A personal approach. So I was thinking one way that we can become more personal is just in our everyday bhakti activities, like chanting Hare Krishna, doing kirtan. If we approach the deities in this mood that I'm doing this for you, I'm approaching you with a personal attitude, then we'll really see that relationship blossom. We'll really see some reciprocation. And there's another little story I wanted to share in terms of, it's a little bit off topic to this, but in terms of Krishna's the potency of Krishna's name. And I just read this a few days ago, but it was in Boston, and Srila Prabhupada was, he was speaking to some devotees as they were leaving. And he started to say, the holy name of Krishna, it's so powerful. It's more powerful than Krishna himself. And he said, once there was this pastime in Vrindavan, and they wanted to see, they wanted to give a donation of gold to Narad Muni. So they had a weight scale. They said, we're going to give this exact amount of weight that Krishna's, you know, that he equates in gold, and we'll give that to Narad Muni as a donation. So there's a, you can think of cute little Krishna on one side of the scale, and they put gold on the other side. They keep adding more gold, adding more gold, adding more gold. But Krishna's still heavier, adding more gold. And Narad Muni smiled, and he knew that there's no amount of wealth that will be heavier than the Supreme Lord. But he knew the trick, so he took a tulsi leaf, and he wrote down Krishna's name on the tulsi leaf. And he put that leaf on top of the gold, and immediately changed. Because the name of Krishna is more potent than Krishna himself. He gives more mercy in his name. And here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that the Yadavas were all exceptionally learned and experienced, but in spite of their knowledge, their knowing the Lord as the one who lives in everyone's heart, they cannot understand that he is the original personality of Godhead. This lack of knowledge was not due to their insufficient erudition, not due to their lack of understanding. It was due to their misfortune. And this is because they didn't have the mercy of Krishna. So if we want to gain the mercy of Krishna, we want to form that very real relationship with him. One way you can do so is very real, very tangible, and that's worth more weight than Krishna himself, is through his holy name. So I know that it's approaching time for the students to go back. I wanted to conclude there and see if there are any questions or comments from the students first. Yeah.
In the material world, like getting the leaf and writing Krishna's name on it, like would it actually do that? Like here, so that's kind of false advertising.
He said, in the material world here, if we put Krishna's name on a leaf and put it on the scale, would it actually do that? So it's kind of false advertisement. You can try and see. You know, there's... You're probably familiar with the Ramayana story, and I'll get to your question in a second, but... And they were... where they were putting... trying to build a bridge to Lanka. And... we're getting all the details now. They wrote the name of Ram on the rocks, and the rocks floated. Now, it was... I don't know if I'm making this up or if this was part of it, but I think I remember that there were some who didn't believe that this would work, and for them it did not work. Is that correct? Am I remembering that correct? But for those who believe that... by putting the name of Ram on the rock, that it would float, and they had so much faith in his holy name, it did work. Now, that's something you would really have to test out to see, is it really false advertisement? But the idea is, with so much faith in Krishna's name, that it has this potency, and that it does. Because Krishna's name is non-different from the Lord himself. It's not a material concoction that it has a certain property, therefore it's heavier. But with faith, then Krishna reveals himself through his name, and therefore anything is possible. I saw a hand here, then a hand there. So, you first.
So, you know how we need a number over the scale, and then a whole bunch of gold and Krishna?
Yeah.
How do you put Krishna on?
How do you put Krishna on the scale? Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you say that. Oh, sorry. So, Purushottam is saying that, how do you actually put Krishna on the scale? How do you lift the Supreme Lord? You know, the story of our... maybe you've seen photos, if you've been to Jagannath Puri, they have to bring the Lord Jagannath Didi out of the temple. And Lord Jagannath is so, so heavy that it takes so many people to lift him. And he has a certain leela that after a certain point that he just... oh, God, I'm also forgetting this. Okay, I'm going to give a different example. I'm sorry. But... Krishna, he reciprocates. The idea is he reciprocates with his devotee. How can we lift the Supreme Lord? When the desire of a devotee to perform a certain service is there, Krishna will mold himself in any which way. And also, he's just a little kid. There was one more question. I'm not familiar with that. You heard that? He's saying that there is a similar story from the Ramayana where the gopis didn't believe that Krishna and Ram are the same personality, so Krishna put his name along with Ram's name and built a bridge that way. Okay. They're saying this happened, that Krishna put his name and Ram's name in the same rock and built the whole bridge that way to prove to the gopis that they're the same. Thank you. Yeah. Should we end there? Should we keep going? I don't know what your time scale is. Any questions? Okay, go for it. Sure. Are you going to the same? Sorry, go ahead. Are you going to the same? You heard a lecture from Pran Govinda Prabhu, and the question was, what if Krishna makes something that even he can't lift? And he said, then you'll have Lord Balaram lift it. If it's something that Lord Balaram can't lift, you'll have Krishna lift it. Thank you for that comment. Okay, I guess we'll wrap it up. Thank you. Okay, we'll see you guys next week. We still have a little time for those remaining who are still here in the temple. Yes. You can pass the mic around now.
Thank you, Ram Govind, for a wonderful class.
Thank you.
Prabhupada used an adjective describing the pure devotees, the Brajvasis. Unconventional.
Yeah.
Can you expand on your appreciation of that?
Yeah. I'm glad that you caught that, too. I caught that also. I'll read this line again that Srila Prabhupada wrote. The Lord was not even known as the Paramatma because the residents of Vrindavan were pure, unconventional devotees of the Lord and could think of him only as their object of love. As I was reading that earlier in the class, I was just thinking, Prabhupada has this way of sometimes throwing little adjectives or little things in his purport that just make him go, oh, wait, what? That's interesting. I never heard of it that way before. And they were unconventional in the sense you think about how in practically any religion, but let's look at Vaishnavism and how people approach Vishnu, how people approach Krishna through different awe and reverence means, and that the way to approach God in that way. And then you see the Brajavasis, and they really imbibe bhakti to its topmost degree, to the topmost degree that they forget any rule, regulation on reverence that should be shown to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's so much bhakti there that they'll yell at Krishna, they'll be angry at Krishna. But at the same time, they'll drop everything and surrender to Krishna in a heartbeat. He's the center of their life. He's the center of attraction for them. He's literally their life and soul. That when he leaves Vrindavan, they just become like statues practically. They can't survive without him. But it's unconventional to the point that it brings out what the true convention is, what the true approach to Krishna is that he wants, that he likes, that he says, I want, and that's bhakti. And that's why we follow in the footsteps of the Brajavasis, Siddha Goswamis. And it's because they have really what Krishna wants, and it's their love. Yeah.
While you were talking, I thought of that pastime of
Mm-hmm.
It's energetic.
Mm-hmm.
The dust of the devotees speaking.
Yeah.
And the result of the devotees.
Yeah.
Unconventional.
Yeah. Mother Agamika is saying that she, in relation to that point, she remembers the story of Narad Muni getting dust from the Vaishnava's feet to relieve his headache, or Krishna's headache, right? And then it, the only devotees that would do it were the gopis, because it was unconventional, but convention's out the window for them. It's all about Krishna. Certainly. I think that's for real.
So this is a question that you just answered.
Okay.
That the verse describes the yadus as being unfortunate because they don't see Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. Mm. And the gopis are glorified because they don't see Krishna as the personality of Godhead.
Yeah. 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 It's almost that seeing Krishna, it seems that if you take from that point of view, it seems to be that seeing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is that the goal? Or is the goal to, is pure bhakti, is that the goal? Because it seems like, in one sense, seeing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead would be an advantage. The yadus, wouldn't it be as unfortunate if they could see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Then they could relate with him in such a way. But it would be a disadvantage if the gopis and the Vrajbhasis saw him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then they would stop relating to him, how Krishna wants to be related. Yeah, that's a nice point.
Very nice class. Thank you. But I was also thinking a little deeper how we do in Ishkan. There's a famous verse in related to this, Prabhupada quote many times, Mayi bhakti hi bhutana mamritattaya kalpate.
Mm-hmm.
Prabhupada gives credit to that verse a lot, the mm-hmm. qualification of the Brajavasi. Concept of Krishna is his greatness, also sweetness, both. If we just take the sweetness that Brajavasi had or manifested, or maybe we are attracted in that, it may not give us ultimate goal mm-hmm. because negation or removing anarthas and offensive nature will not go but just by hearing the sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
Submission has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And submission will not come by hearing the sweetness. Submission will come by the hearing about greatness also. Majestic aspect. It evokes our submission naturally. Krishna will take care of me. Krishna will protect me. I need this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't purify my heart so quickly. I cannot pay attention. So this will evoke submission. Of course, simultaneously, I'm not just going one side. Also, we need to evoke mm-hmm. affection for the Lord by hearing the sweet pastime.
Yeah.
Otherwise, just focusing on only Brajavasi's mood, which they do in Sahajiyasam. or sentimentalism, but none of our acharya ever support that.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking, other day I was talking in Zoom class, Ramanuja Acharya never mentioned Radha Krishna or Brajavasi. I mean, I haven't heard, maybe he did, but I never heard. But we celebrate his birthday because he gave the foundation of this philosophy,
mm-hmm.
how to come approach God with surrender.
Yeah, yeah.
And Prabhupada writes in the purport, Bhakti Siddhanta Sudhakar took 108 things from that sampradaya.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't list it, but I was thinking like, but then Prabhupada, at the end of the purport, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila chapter 8, Prabhupada writes that, but Sahajiyas, they talk only about Radha Krishna, but we do not give any regards to them.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be some fine understanding.
Thanks for that point. And to bring it back to Prabhu's point here, that you see these two seemingly opposites with the yadus and the Brajbhasis. And so the question then becomes, we can learn lessons from each at this point, but then where do we fall? You know, we can't just jump into the position of one of them and say, they do it like this, so I'm going to do it like this now, in my position here in the material world. But that's why there's a process, because without any kind of process, without any parampara or guru, you read something and you think, this is the way they do it, they have the ultimate love, I will do the same. And you can't, it doesn't work that way, like you're saying. So I appreciate your point very much. Are there any other questions, reflections, comments? Okay, and we'll wrap up there. Gantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.